see here. I think that's got you recording.
Thank you, brother.
Good afternoon to you folks. So good to be with you today. You're our family, and we love the folks here at Faith Baptist Church. And of course, Brother Mark, consider my mentor, my trainer. Just love him in the Lord, and so thankful for the part. The part that he's played. It's 1984, brother, was the first time we met, so you guys can do the math. It's been a few years. So God has been good and gracious. Speaking of a few years, I wanted to thank the folks from Tabernacle Baptist Church for your gracious anniversary card and your gracious gifts that you provided Darlene and I on Wednesday night. 37 years of marriage. Jim, special gift coming to you for your comments and the card. I think you wrote you didn't look old enough to be married 37 years. Now, I realize that was probably directed towards Darlene, but you didn't say that, so I'm just going to claim it. So this is Name It and Claim It Day. So thank you, folks, and so much appreciate that, and just love you in the Lord. And besides as well, just love you. I also want to thank Brother Mark and our family here at Faith Baptist Church for allowing us to come over and use the baptistry. It's always a pleasure and a privilege for us to get to come. It's especially a pleasure and a privilege for me to have the opportunity to preach. And so I appreciate your prayers today. We are rejoicing on the occasion of Cody McNaughton's baptism. And we rejoice in performing a baptism anyways, but Cody as family now, family with us, and then, of course, soon to be family of Tabernacle Baptist Church. And so in trying to decipher and determine the Lord's will on what we would preach today, obviously we have to, in some form or fashion, address the subject of baptism. That's always right and proper, and yet I didn't want to just rehearse passages and verses that perhaps we always equate to the subject of baptism. And so I want to tie in the idea of church membership today, because obviously baptism is the entrance into the New Testament church. And so I'm going to ask you to turn, if you would, in your Bibles this afternoon to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. And we are going to be reading three verses this afternoon in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. And then we will, I trust, make some comments from some of the other verses that are mentioned here as Paul writes to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. And so begin reading with me here in verse number 12. We're going to read verses 12, 13, and 14 this morning as we get started. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. The title of the message this afternoon is Church Membership Baptized into the Body. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the preaching of the Word of God this morning. And Lord, the words of comfort and challenge and conviction that came from the message out of Psalms 46. And Lord, help us, each of us that are here right now, to be still and to know that you are God. And Lord, help us to take great comfort from that. Lord, also, when we are not walking as we should, help us to be convicted and to know that you are still God. And Lord, we thank you for the care and the love that you have for your people. Lord, it is only through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we as sinful creatures could approach you and come boldly in prayer, and yet you instruct us in your word that that's exactly what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to come boldly by the blood of Christ. And so this afternoon, Lord, we ask that you'd forgive us and help us as we endeavor to worship you. And Lord, we know that in your house we worship you through the preaching of the word. So as we investigate your word this afternoon, Lord, help us to pay attention to you and to what your word says. Give us spiritual eyes to see. Lord, help us to truly examine our own lives. May this not just be a message that is doctrinal and in its primary emphasis and application, but that it might be practical as well, Lord, that we would question just the type of church member that we are. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done and what you'll yet do, but Lord, most of all, we thank you for who you are. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church membership baptized into the body. Now, our occasion for meeting here this afternoon, of course, we meet together to worship the Lord. The specific occasion is to baptize Cody McNaughton. And of course, we believe, as Tabernacle Baptist Church, one of the Lord's churches, we are observing one of the two ordinances of the New Testament church, that ordinance of baptism. And again, we usually deal strictly with the subject of baptism when we have the occasion to practice and observe the ordinance. But today, I would like for us to expand our view a bit. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 is critical to understanding not only the formation of a New Testament church, but as well the function of a New Testament church. And here, as we read Paul's words to the church at Corinth, we specifically in our text notice that Paul is using the metaphor of the body to describe the church. And of course, when he talks about the body, he's referring to the fact that the Lord's church, or churches if we will, they are living, breathing organisms. They are not dead bodies. They are living bodies who are composed of different members, each of them contributing a function to the operation of the body. Just like your physical body. Your physical body has members that you can see, your fingers, your hands, your arms, you name it. You also have members that you can't see. Your intestines, your liver, your spleen, your thyroid, other body members that have very important functions for you. The Apostle Paul is using the metaphor to describe what a church is. And of course, he's talking about the only kind of church that the Bible speaks of, a local visible body that is organized and congregated together to carry out the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as he uses this metaphor of the body, he moves on and he begins to point out the need for scriptural baptism in verse number 13. And he addresses the fact that being led by the Spirit of God, these folks that were members of the body of the church at Corinth, they were baptized into that particular body. It says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit." Now, I trust that you understand in verse number 13 that Paul is not teaching the idea of a universal invisible church. He's not talking about the fact that we are mystically baptized by the Spirit into one universal invisible body. In fact, that is what would describe the kingdom. The kingdom consists of all the saved on earth at any given time. When he uses the term the church and the body, they are synonymous, and he's talking about this local assembly at Corinth. And what he is referring to is that these folks that were members of the church at Corinth had been led by the Spirit of God to unite with that church. And the way that they united with that church was through scriptural baptism. That's what he's talking about. He goes on. He doesn't stop there. And in the rest of the chapter, and of course we say chapter, he didn't write it in a chapter, but in the rest of the thought that he is getting across here, he points out and expounds upon how the church best functions. How does your body best function? Your body best functions when each of the members of your body does what it is designed to do. And the Apostle Paul is saying that this is how the Lord's churches function best, when each member is performing his or her duty. Now, we get back to the main thought. How does this possibly tie in with the subject of baptism? Well, guess what? Cody is being baptized today because he wants to be a member of Tabernacle Baptist Church. And so I think it's appropriate today for us to, yes, touch on the ordinance of baptism, and we'll do that, I trust, briefly. But today I want us to consider church membership. And I would like for us to think about just what it means to be a member of one of the Lord's churches, and how that we, by the practice of scriptural baptism, are baptized into that body of which we are members. Folks at Faith Baptist Church, you're baptized and you're members of Faith Baptist Church. Likewise for the folks at Tabernacle Baptist Church. And so today, we consider church membership baptized into the body. What I would specifically want us to think about during our remaining time together is what it takes to become a church member. And I believe that the Bible here, and we see this, I believe, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, there are four prerequisites for church membership that lead us to be baptized into the body. And I'll give them to you here individually, and then we'll address each of them specifically. Notice these four prerequisites for church membership. First of all, a candidate for church membership must be saved by God's grace. The second prerequisite is the candidate must be set in the specific body or the specific church by the Lord. The third prerequisite is that the candidate must be scripturally baptized. And the fourth prerequisite is that the candidate must exhibit personal submission. I believe we see all of this in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. And so as we think this morning about church membership being baptized into the body, notice this first prerequisite. It's this: a candidate must be saved by God's grace. I was reading some materials in preparation for the message, and I'll give you some quotes from some different materials that I've had in my library for quite some time. I was reading one particular book written in 1928 on how one becomes a member of a Baptist church. And there were four specific items that were mentioned there. And of course, the first two were repentance and faith. And of course, what is that referring to? That's referring to somebody who has been born again. Somebody that has been touched by the Spirit of God, such that they have been awakened out of their spiritually dead condition, and they have received eyes to see and ears to hear. And yes, by the grace of God, they have repented of their sins and placed their faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot be a member of one of the Lord's churches unless you have, first of all, been saved by the grace of God. Now, in all of the preceding that Paul writes here, up to verse number 12, we sometimes forget what he started off with. Now, if I were to say to you, what are the first 11 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 about? You might say, well, it's talking about how that we receive our talents, and how that we receive gifts, and that not all of us have the same gifts, and there are diversities of gifts and administrations and so forth. And you'd be right about that. Paul is writing about that. But I want you to notice what he starts off with. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verses 1 through 3. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." Verse 2. "Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led." Now, what's he saying? He's saying that you previously were foreigners and strangers and aliens to the grace of God. You did not worship the true and living God. You were idolaters. Then notice verse number 3. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. He is literally saying that if you call Jesus Lord rightly, the only way that you can do that or anyone can do that rightly is by the work of the Holy Ghost in your life. You've been born again by the Spirit of God. What Paul is saying is that before you think about spiritual gifts, you must first of all be a spiritual being. You must be born again by the grace of God. And so this is where the discussion starts. It would be ludicrous for us to try to make somebody a church member, even though they might want to be a church member, who has never been born again, who's never been saved by the grace of God. What's the first prerequisite? You got to be saved by God's grace. The Apostle Paul goes back here and he touches on this subject before he gets into the meat of the functions of the body of Christ here at Corinth. So we see that salvation is a requirement for scriptural baptism, and scriptural baptism is the entrance into the Lord's church. We find that this is the pattern that is revealed time and time again in the New Testament. Only those that gladly received the word were permitted to be baptized. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. What did Philip tell the Ethiopian eunuch? He could be baptized if he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 8, verses 36 and 37. What did John the Baptist require as evidence before he administered baptism? Of course, he required evidence of repentance, fruits meet for repentance. You'll find that in Matthew chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. And then, of course, we understand that the Corinthians first believed and then were baptized. Notice this in Acts chapter 18 and verse number 8. Turn over there with me quickly to Acts chapter number 18 and verse number 8. Notice what Luke the physician writes here in Acts chapter 18 and verse number 8. We find that Paul is at Corinth. So it's very applicable to what we're reading as it relates to the letter that he wrote to Corinth that we're looking at. And notice Acts chapter 18 and verse 8. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. So they weren't baptized and then they believed. They believed and then they were baptized. Now I realize that a lot of this is very elementary to you. It's very fundamental. And yet it's important for us on an occasion like this to make sure that we're all on the same page, to go back and investigate some of these elementary truths. A candidate for church membership must be saved by God's grace. How can we baptize somebody who hasn't given evidence and testimony of their salvation through grace and their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? We could go on and look at other occasions. Paul himself, Cornelius, Lydia, the Philippian jailer, all of these folks believed before they were baptized. Now, the scriptures also teach that the Lord added only those whom he saved. The Lord added to the church only those whom he saved. Acts chapter 2, verse number 47, the Bible says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And so you begin to see a pattern developing here. As Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, he's talking about how the body is formed and the best way for the body to function. And he talks about, first of all, the fact that you can't call Jesus Lord unless you have been touched by the Holy Spirit, unless you've been born again by the Spirit of God. He's talking about this prerequisite. You know, historically, Baptists have always insisted on a regenerate church membership. Now, I sometimes will give you quotes and make points like this, not that we place our faith in what Baptists have always historically done, but rather to prove the point that what we do today is not any different than what our Baptist forefathers have done, right? So we see that this is exactly what they did. J.T. Christian, who wrote a two-volume work on a history of the Baptists, wrote this. He wrote, "Only believers were baptized, and that upon a public profession of faith in Jesus Christ. The church was composed of believers or holy persons. The conditions of membership were repentance, faith, righteousness, and the initiatory rite of baptism, which was symbolic of the changed life." And so this, again, helps us to understand that we're not venturing out and requiring something that is new. This is something that we would describe as the old ways and the old past. And so we're talking this morning about church membership and being baptized into the body. You say, "I want to be a member of one of the Lord's churches." What's the first prerequisite? You got to be saved by the grace of God. The second prerequisite is this. The candidate must be set in that specific body by the Lord. So when Cody indicated that he wanted to join, he didn't say, "Now, you know, I want to join a church. It doesn't matter to me what church it is, but I just want to join a church." He said, "I want to join Tabernacle Baptist Church." Look, I think sometimes we are guilty of downplaying the importance of being led by the Spirit of God to a particular body. And those of you that have known me for any amount of years know and understand what I have believed and have taught in this. We are not free agents in the sense that, you know what, I don't like the way things are going over here, so I'll just go join over there. Or I can get a promotion by moving to this city and, you know, there's no indication that there's a strong church there, but I'm going to go ahead and move. We are not free agents in that sense. The Lord places us in the body that He wants us to be in. That is important when we think about somebody presenting him or herself for church membership. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 18. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 18, the Bible says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him." Do you understand that? Do you see what God is saying through the Apostle Paul? That God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. Now, interesting comment on the word "set." You look it up in the Greek and you use Strong's or Thayer's, whatever it is that you want to look at, and you know what you'll find that that word means? Place. God places the members in the body as it has pleased Him. Now, there are two ways in which we need to look at this. We're talking about church membership this afternoon, being baptized into the body. The first way is this. That the candidate must be set in the specific body by the Lord as it relates to his or her place of service. God placed me in Tabernacle Baptist Church. I am not leaving Tabernacle Baptist Church until God places me in another New Testament church. Could I ask you this morning? Is your church membership important enough to you to wait on the direction of the Lord? Through the years that I've pastored, and it hadn't been all that many, 2003, I can think of names, I can see faces in my mind of people that got upset and ran off, and no indication at all that it was the Spirit of God moving them. They just got upset about something, and they're running off and going to somewhere else, who knows where. Could I give you some biblical counsel this morning or this afternoon? God places the members in the body as it pleases Him. He puts us in the specific place in which we serve. Instead of being so upset with our church, maybe we should be privileged to serve the Lord at the place where He has left us. So the candidate must be set in the specific body by the Lord, not only as to the place of service, but also as it relates to our productivity in service. Our productivity in service. Notice verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 24. Notice the Bible says here, "For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked." Now the word "tempered" here, we've talked about this before on various occasions, it literally means to co-mingle. And this idea is that the Lord tempers the body together using the ingredients that he brought together at that particular location. It's much, and I've used the illustration before, it's much like a master chef or Darlene, who is a master chef in my eyes, okay? You take those ingredients, and you got a bunch of these ingredients that are sitting on the counter. And you could say, well, hey, I want to have, I think she made Mexican casserole today, right? I want to have some of that Mexican casserole. Well, you know what? You don't get the Mexican casserole until you mingle all of the ingredients together and you put in the exact right amount of everything and you prepare it so that it's edible. You know what the Lord does with the church? He puts exactly the right ingredients in the church. He puts people with different talents and abilities and gifts in the church. And when I say the church, I'm talking about each individual local church. And the body functions best when each member carries out his or her function. God uses each member to contribute to the body. I would counsel Cody, as I would counsel anyone else, when you join Tabernacle Baptist Church, you are not joining to just take up space. You are joining to be an active, vibrant member of a living organism, and you have talents and abilities that God has gifted you with that, guess what? He expects you to use those in his service. I've been looking at some books, reading some books that Brother Billy Jack Holbrook had kind of given me a clue on, written by a man by the name of Tom Rainer. Brother Mark, I don't know if you're familiar with Tom Rainer. He's got some good stuff. Of course, I wouldn't espouse everything that he writes, but he deals with one of the books is an autopsy of a church and how to know when a church is dead. And it's pretty sound. He doesn't use criteria like we hear today, but he also wrote another book entitled "I Am a Church Member." And chapter 6 in this book by Tom Rainer, "I'm a Church Member," is entitled, "I Will Treasure Church Membership as a Gift." I will treasure church membership as a gift. And in that chapter, Tom goes through two different approaches to church membership. And he mentions this approach that he refers to as the country club membership approach. And with the country club membership approach, he says that folks that approach their church membership that way, they are joining the church to see what they can get out of it. They will determine what they like and don't like. They are members who expect perks, privileges, and service. There's a whole group of folks today, in fact, I would say that's the majority of folks, that are looking for something in a church. It's not what they can do for the church and for the Lord through the church. It's what the church can do for them. Brother Mark, if you were to hearken back to our days together up in Minnesota, how many times did we visit somebody and they'd ask about how big the church was? And they were wanting a church that could do something for their kids. Now look, I understand that it's right and appropriate to have relevant teaching at a certain level, right? And so we have Sunday school for particular age levels so that they can understand it. But folks were looking for what, Brother Mark? What the church could do for them. If we, and I've said this before at Tabernacle Baptist Church, if all of the folks that visited that wanted to go to a larger church would have stayed, we'd have a larger church. But folks today have this idea, just as Tom Rainer mentions it, this country club approach, that they are not joining a living organism to be able to carry out the function and mission of the church using their God-given abilities, but they're looking for something from the church. This is not the idea that the Word of God gives us about our place in a New Testament church. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16 reads this. Ephesians 4, verse 16. "From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted," now get this, by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I wonder, and I'm not trying to be a heavy this morning, but I am trying to challenge you. I wonder if we ever ask what we contribute to the function of the body. Now look, I'm not trying to shame anybody, and we all have different situations. God knows your situations. God knows what you are capable of doing. God knows what you are not capable of doing. And I'm not trying to shame somebody into doing something that you are not capable of doing. But look, if your idea of church membership is that you just come and take up space in a pew, that's not biblical. That's not appropriate. You have talents and abilities that God has given you to use in His service. I don't know what those are. I don't assign those to you. But whatever they are, find them and use them for the honor and glory of the Lord in the church. Joe Odell, probably from Texas with a name like Joe Odell, right? It's probably Joe Bob Odell. But Joe Odell wrote Baptist Church Members Handbook in 1962. By the way, brother, if you have M.L. Mosier's church handbook, it's almost identical to this. So I'm not familiar with Brother Odell, but he wrote this in 1962. He wrote, membership places upon us an inescapable obligation, an obligation to make the church and its work first in our lives. It is an obligation to use our time and our talents for the glory of God, an obligation to support the work with our presence, our influence, and our means. We are under obligation to be the very best members possible under the leadership of the Lord. Is there anything wrong with that statement? That's a proper statement. We ought to want to be the best members that way we can be for the honor and glory of the Lord. And so the candidate for church membership must be set in that specific body by the Lord, must be placed in that specific body by the Lord. The third prerequisite, and here we get to what's most appropriate today as it relates to the observance on hand, a candidate must be scripturally baptized. Must be scripturally baptized. Look at verse number 13. We spoke about this a little bit earlier, but somebody who says, I've been saved by the grace of God, I believe that God is leading me to join this church. What's the next step? Have you ever been scripturally baptized? No, I haven't been scripturally baptized. That's the next step. Candidate must be scripturally baptized. Verse number 13, we've read it again a few times, but notice again. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. What is the Apostle Paul saying? He's saying again literally that you are led by the Holy Spirit. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. He's not saying that by the Holy Spirit there's some mystical, mysterious spiritual baptism by which we're placed into the universal invisible church. It's not what he's saying. He's saying literally that if you want to join the church at Corinth, you have been led by the Spirit of God to receive scriptural baptism administered by the church at Corinth. And by that baptism, you will become a member of the church at Corinth. He says, we've all been led by the Spirit of God to be a member of that particular body for which we are a member. And so the folks here at Faith Baptist Church that were baptized by the authority of Faith Baptist Church, you were led by the Spirit of God to be baptized and to join this particular body. So it is today with Cody as he has voiced his desire to unite with Tabernacle Baptist Church by being baptized scripturally. Now, we say this, and again, we don't mean it prideful, in a prideful sense, in a haughty sense, or an arrogant sense, but when somebody says they want to join the church and they say that they've been baptized, we want to make sure their baptism is scriptural. We want to check it out. We want to do our due diligence. Again, it's not out of pride. It's not out of having a haughty spirit, but it is to protect the purity of the Lord's churches. We don't agree with everything that's out there that calls itself a church. And so if we don't agree with that, then we have to do our due diligence to make sure that that baptism has been administered properly. You know this, but I mention it again. A baptism is only considered scriptural if it meets all of the following criteria. First of all, a proper authority. And who's the proper authority? Not Pastor Mel, not Pastor Mark. The proper authority is a New Testament church. Tabernacle Baptist Church, Faith Baptist Church, that's a proper authority. The proper mode, immersion only. Baptizo, the word literally means to dip. It is to immerse, right? We're gonna dip Cody here in just a little bit. We're going to dip him a long time. No, I'm kidding. We're going to dip him, man. And he's going to go all the way under. And hopefully, by the grace of God, he's going to come back up. Okay? So that's the meaning of the word. We don't sprinkle and we don't pour, right? We dip. It's a proper mode. And then there's a proper motive. Well, you know, I want to be a member of Tabernacle Baptist Church because now, you know, I'm part of the Kimberlin family, and so I feel like it's the right thing to do that I should be a member of Tabernacle Baptist Church. Wrong. Proper motive to be obedient in following the command of the Lord Jesus Christ, to portray the picture of the believer's death to sin and his newness of life through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is all given to us, and again, just for time's sake, we won't turn there and read it, but it's given in Romans chapter number 6, verses 4 through 6. That's the picture that we see. So a proper motive. And then lastly, we've already talked about this, a proper candidate, a born-again believer. I can't help but mention this, every time we get ready to observe the ordinance of baptism. I remember the old fella out at Lehigh Valley Baptist Church. He got in the baptistry, they're getting ready to baptize him. They asked him why he was being baptized. He said, "Well, I want my sins to be forgiven." They stopped the baptism. Right thing. You don't go in the baptistry to have your sins washed away. You go in the baptistry, that's the answer of a clean conscience towards God, and you want to be obedient to the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, Jesus himself was baptized. Jesus himself submitted to scriptural baptism. Right? So there's got to be a proper candidate. So the third prerequisite, a candidate has to be scripturally baptized. You're baptized into the body. And then lastly, we're talking about church membership and four prerequisites for church membership and being baptized in the body. This fourth prerequisite is a candidate must exhibit personal submission. A candidate must exhibit personal submission. Each prospective member must exhibit a spirit of submission. Are you teachable? Are you pastorable? Now, when we talk about a spirit of submission, nobody that has ever joined Tabernacle Baptist Church sat down with me and I gave them a list of my do's and don'ts. You got to submit to me on all this. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about embracing and submitting to what Tabernacle Baptist Church is as a body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask everybody, have you read the church covenant? Do you agree to abide by the church covenant? Have you read the confession of faith? Do you believe what we believe? Now, I'm going to talk more about that here in just a moment, but we're talking about a spirit of submission. We don't receive people to doubtful disputations. We don't receive people that want to argue about what the church believes. We don't want to argue. The New Testament church is supposed to be marked by peace, not arguing. And so we're not trying to convince somebody that they need to do this and do that and change their beliefs. But if you want to be a member, there should be a spirit of submission. By the way, that's scriptural. Paul wrote about it in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 as well as Romans chapter number 12. So the candidate must exhibit submission as it relates to doctrine. To doctor. I mean, you gotta embrace what the church teaches. Can you imagine joining a church and you don't believe what that church preaches and teaches? What's doctrine? Doctrine is teaching, right? So you got to embrace doctrine. You got to embrace decisions. What direction is the church going? We joke about this. Some people believe in democratic congregational rule unless the vote doesn't go their way. You know, it's kind of like, forgive me, Brother Mark, I probably get you ran out. It's like the Democrats today. Oh, we believe in the constitutional form of government. And we believe that we should elect the president, except if your person doesn't win. Then if your person doesn't win, you want to do everything that you can to subvert our constitutional form of government. You look in the camera and say you are standing for the constitutional form of government. There are some folks that are members of churches, and man, they are democratic congregational church members. They believe we ought to vote, except when the vote doesn't go their way. Then when the vote doesn't go their way, they don't like the decision. Now they're going to cop an attitude, and they're going to cause dissension, or they're going to leave. When you join a church, you are saying, I intend to practice personal submission. You know not everything Tabernacle Baptist Church does, I agree with. I'm sure not everything that Tabernacle Baptist Church does, you agree with. But we agree that in areas where they're not major issues, where we have to divide, we have a spirit of submission. And what the church determines to do, that's what we go with. How about this? A candidate must exhibit personal submission as it relates to our duties. Our duties that are displayed by which we make a pledge in the church covenant. When's the last time you read the church covenant? How about this? We do now in the presence of God, angels in this assembly, most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ. We do that of our own free will. Nobody forces us to do that. Now, again, I was reading some older literature this week, older Baptist literature, and I thought I'd share a little bit of this with you because we today, by and large, we don't have the heart to say sometimes what needs to be said. We don't. We've gotten accustomed to where we're very careful about what we say, and we don't want to offend anybody. And a lot of times, we don't say what needs to be said. Right? I've mentioned to you before some of the stories. I don't know, Brother Mark, if ever Brother Ken Johnson shared stories with you about some of the things he'd say in, you know, in a business meeting, you know, and people getting out of line. And we don't talk that way today. We're very, very, very hands off. Listen to this. This was written in 1940 in a book that I have in my library entitled Church Loyalty. It's 1940. And that book was written by an old Baptist man by the name of William Hall Preston. And it reads this. Church attendance is the duty and privilege of every member. It's the duty and privilege. It's not just the duty, it's the duty and privilege of every member. We're told, however, by those who have made a careful study of church attendance, that only 8% of our total population attend church on Sunday morning. Only 2% attend the evening service, and less than 1% attend prayer meeting. Now, when he talks about prayer meeting, he's talking about the Wednesday evening service, right? So of those Baptists, less than 1% attend prayer meeting. On the other hand, 70% of our people attend a picture show at least once a week. Now, I don't know what the figures are about attending a picture show, but he's trying to prove a point that even in 1940, the idea of placing a priority on attendance in the Lord's house was low. Guess what? We don't want Cody to join, not intending to serve the Lord and honor the Lord with his presence. How about this? And I'll actually close with this quote because I'll have to run so nobody throws anything at me. This is from a work entitled The Meaning of Church Membership. This is written in 1928. A church member who neglects the prayer service without an excuse well-pleasing to God is untrue to the church covenant and is hindering the work of the church. The church member who deliberately chooses to stay away from the prayer service is untrue to the highest interests of the church for which Christ gave himself. Those are pretty stern words. 1928. And I wonder what our attitude is today. Do we see our place in the church that the Lord has led us to unite with? Do we see the importance of being there? How can we possibly be the church that God wants us to be if we're not there? It's a challenge to us. A candidate must exhibit personal submission. So, in just a few moments, we have an opportunity to observe the ordinance of baptism. Cody McNaughton has indicated his desire to unite with Tabernacle Baptist Church. Is he qualified? Well, he has a testimony that he's been saved by God's grace. He claims that the Lord has set him in this specific body, that the Lord has led him to be a part of this body. He has submitted to scriptural baptism. And if he still wants to join after this, then we're going to dip him. We're going to baptize him. And he has indicated, yep, I read the church confession of faith. I read the church covenant. I agree to abide by it. I think he's a fit candidate. And I thank the Lord that he's still adding to his church today. He is still impressing upon folks the desire to unite with one of the Lord's churches. Now, when that happens, that's not the end. That's the beginning. We roll up our sleeves. We get busy. We honor and glorify the Lord. Four prerequisites for church membership being baptized in to the body. Brother Mark.
Amen. It's a privilege to be able to witness a baptism here today, and we're thankful for that and grateful for that and looking forward to it. And we will lead in, I'm going to lead in a few songs while these fellows get ready, and looking forward to it. Let's turn in our songbook to 228. Appreciate the message today. I'll tell y'all and so that he doesn't hear. Otherwise, he'll get a big head or something. It's really good. 228. And I'm also going to.